would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to Warmaster Podcast, episode 175 with Paul and Sherwin and Barry.
Hello, listeners.
Those numbers are vaguely accurate. Is it really good? Yeah. 175?
Yeah, unfortunately, or fortunately, which way you look at it.
Unfortunately.
I was recently challenged about by somebody I know quite well about the lack of content.
Oh, really? What do they say?
They said, maybe you should post a podcast more than every 3 months, once every 3 months. I was like, there's 174 of them, man. There's only so many times you can go to the well before the well starts running dry.
Interesting.
I swore there were more.
I would have offered them a refund on their prescription subscription.
That's it. So I immediately kicked them out of the shop and gave them money back. It's like, we're going up north, episode 175. That's a fucking lot.
Yeah.
About a game that's been dead 20 fucking years.
It is, yeah.
It's fucking pissing down, as usual. Paul's got his what are roof bars on. So we got a ghostly noise. We got the rain. I mean, it rains every time we go anywhere. There's a Brexit bonus, the rain. Well, it's probably a global warming bonus. I mean, we haven't talked about that yet, but you want to worry about fucking, I mean, Brexit's bad, but global warming, that's next level shit. You see that American stuff?
Yeah,
holy fucking moly, we were worried. Oh, we got -5 today. They got -50 and no power. What the fuck?
Yeah. Like, I saw a stat that was like 60% of their population was under this storm. It's like 60%. Oh my god.
-50?
Yeah.
What is it, fucking Siberia, is it? It's like, Jesus.
Crazy stuff.
But yeah, that's, I'll leave that. The kids can sort that out. You've got kids, I've got kids, they can sort it out.
Yeah.
I'll be dead, hopefully. Right, so we've got Sherwin in the boot. Like the gimp.
Nice.
Bring out the gimp. No, Sherwin's in the back seat. We've got Paul driving. I'm in the front seat. Called shotgun. I didn't even know that was still a thing, but apparently it is.
Yeah.
So I've called shotgun. Today's episode is it's about why still Warmaster.
Oh yeah.
So some guy asked why do you still in response to how the fuck do you keep finding content when you've done 174 episodes? And he said that talk about why he's still drawn back to Warmaster.
Yeah.
After all this time.
Yeah, yeah.
What is it about the game?
Yeah, exactly. What was the name of the guy?
Mr. YouTube person that commented. I could try and find him on the list.
Yeah, it's fine.
But,
okay.
Thank you for the question.
Thanks for the question.
So, we're going to record an episode on the way back. It's just going to be a 2022 wrap-up, so Paul can get his... Because we haven't talked about your victory yet.
No.
It's in there. It's on there.
Okay.
With the Beastman.
Yeah, with the Beastman.
And we're looking, we've got Sherwin. He can wrap up what he's been up to this year, but... He's been fucking everywhere, I guess. I mean, he's been to Germany and he's been to America. Yeah. Back to normal, is it?
International.
No.
Yeah. I normally get December off, so.
No, but I mean this year you've been to Germany and America and all that stuff.
I've been to America a couple of times. I've been to Europe a few times. It's been a slower year.
Well, that's called that's the other big, the holy trinity. The global warming, COVID and Brexit. And we've got the Russian war. What a fucking year. End of the world is nigh. Oh, fuck's sake. Right, anyway, so this guy asked us why, after 20 plus years, are we still playing this fucking 10-mil game?
Uh-huh.
And not a different 10-mil game or a different game altogether.
Yeah, yeah.
Like one of the GW games. The current ones. I mean, they've got every scale, every fucking... They've got small little games with the kill team and... What's the fantasy version of Kill Team?
Warpath,
War something.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going...
Warcry.
Do you know they're worth more than a billion now?
Yeah.
And even that Henry Cavill's given up his day job to come and join in.
Yes. Well, I mean, with Cavill going, and with Cavill and Amazon, they're going to do some 40K, like, content. I mean, if it's done well, it could be amazing. Like,
they do well as the new stars.
Yeah, exactly. Like, There's the like success and fail rate. Like the fail rate would be something as terrible as that Ultramarines CGI movie, which was done a while ago. Yeah, which had some voice actors in it, but really wasn't well produced and did not work at all. But if they do it well, yeah, I mean, there's nothing darker than 40K. And
so who's going to be? He's going to be someone big and Magnus.
It just depends what the story is.
He's
going
to be a big boy, and he's not going to be some fucking drip.
Well, no, but it depends where their setting is. Like, if their story is about Imperial Guardsmen, then...
Have you seen the size of him? He's not an Imperial Guardsman, is he?
But, like, it's, who knows? You know, like,
he's going to be a Space Marine. Which one's he going to be? He's going to be Ultramarine.
Yeah.
He's going to be in blue.
Yeah.
Who's he going to be?
Well...
The big two-fisted fucker.
Yeah, like Margus Calgar or somebody, yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, like, it's years away from even a screenshot of, like, what would be done. But what's encouraging is that he apparently left The Witcher because he didn't like where he wasn't being true to the source material, he felt. So and as he's an executive producer of this future project, I think that it will stay true to its source material, which is only a good thing because, like, 40K source material is very dark and I don't think it needs to explain itself. You know, we shall see. I mean, if it
he's
were
Superman as well. I mean,
well,
I think
Superman was forced on him.
They wanted someone younger.
Oh yeah, they were going for
Buffer.
Yeah, they were resetting it again.
I mean, there's only been about 20 Supermen.
Well, exactly, but you know, it's we should see because it should be encouraging. It should be very encouraging to listen to because of what it could do in general for the hobby in general. Because if it brings loads of people into the hobby, like, it makes everybody better.
Water rises for everyone.
Yes.
As they say.
Yeah.
High tide raises all ships.
Exactly. That's right. Even Epic might get the odd fucking player or two. You
exactly,
never know.
Exactly. Like the on Warhammer TV, like its subscription, like its channel.
Are you a subscriber?
Yeah, yeah. Because
fanboy.
Well, no, but it's like when you sell the model, like you get, it doesn't really cost anything. You know, so.
He's so mercenary.
But it's true.
Like I subscribe to give me a model every month that I sell it.
No, a yearly subscription model. Well,
how much is that worth?
Well, you sold it before it's on general release, aren't you? So
scalped it.
Yeah, scalp. I mean, like, so Warhammer TV doesn't really cost anything. You know, like, that's been critical of a lack of overall content put out there, and it's true. It's like, they really should have three times the content, I think, on its channel. But what has been there, some of it has been fantastic. Like, and some animation that's like, is really absorbing. Like, there was one recently about it's just a family trying to get off world when Tyranids are attacking. And the twist in it is they end up being, they're actually gene-stealer cultists.
I was going to say, the twist is they're actually already infected.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it was so dark and, like, uncompromising. You know, like, the brutal, of it. Of that brutal.
Even the little kids were eating people, were they?
No, it's just that there's, no one's taken accountability of civilian deaths, yeah. It's like, and, we shall see.
One of the reasons we still play Warmaster is not GW support.
No, God, no.
No. I mean, the only support we've had from GW is kicking the crotch.
Well, to be fair, your question is not Christian and true.
Oh, here we go.
Because you've
Mr. Contrary, what have we got?
Why are you still playing Warmaster after 20 years? You're not still, it's not like you've been solidly playing.
That's true. But it's more, the question was more, why are you still playing Warmaster after, like, 8 years of recording about it?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because it's probably been about that. And
yeah,
why are you still recording about Warmaster?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But you're right, Sherwin, it's not the same game.
Go on, do you want to take the...
I'll start with the first one.
Go on.
It's the scale.
Yep.
Because obviously if it was 28 mil, it'd be Warhammer Fantasy, and it wouldn't look anything like Warmaster looks.
Yep.
So, the 10 mil scale, I was laughing about... Sherwin apparently is painting tartan in 10 mil. Tartan, goddammit!
Yeah.
I mean, that's beyond the realms. But, I mean, you're going to get some fucking nerd love for doing tartan in 10 mil and people see it. So the scale is that I think it's probably the best scale. It could be argued that 6 mil brings an even more epic feel. I don't know. We haven't played much in 6 mil, to be fair, apart from Epic itself, Epic Armageddon or whatever it's called.
Yep.
And that certainly is, I mean, you do get a fucking sense of mad scale at 6 mil.
But you do, I mean, but in Epic Armageddon, there's a lot bigger pieces, aren't there? Like, there's huge, like, titans and planes and stuff. which, though the scale is small, the pieces themselves are bigger.
Yeah, but you could argue that Warmaster, even though it's a big scale, the units tend to be quite uniform, don't they? I know they're meant to represent much bigger kind of groups of men than like 30 men on three bases.
Yeah.
But everything tends to be that 30 men on three bases or 12 cavalry over three bases or whatever.
That's right, yeah.
So if you went down to 6 mil, you could probably have some absolutely fucking gigantic formations. Like Skaven, they're going to have like a unit of unlimited size, effectively.
Yeah, you know, totally. Like, I'll give an example. Like, Tyranids in Epic, you know, there's, okay, that's the size of an equivalent of human bug. But when you have, like, Ripper Swarms, they have 3D modelling now. You can do a proper swarming-looking thing on a base. Yeah, so you could do that for Skaven, definitely. They could have twice the models anybody else has got on a base.
And so they have formations, but some of the formations can get absolutely gigantic in Epic.
Yes, they can, yeah.
Like, almost unlimited, I think, in the size and how much you can put in there. Apart from, I mean, you've got your points cap and your paint for the bits that are going in. So, what do you reckon about 10 mil Sherwin?
10 mil's a Warmaster or 10 mil?
10 mil, I mean, the scale in general. I think the scale is one of its strengths.
Yeah, I agree. I think 10 mil's a nice spot for Warmaster because the size of units you're talking about don't feel like they'd be accurate in terms of the sheer volume of numbers of people you're having in the unit. But there's a visual spectacle to Warmaster, which I think people don't necessarily understand until they've seen it actually being played. Like, in terms of the scale of the buildings and the cities and the landscape, armies flying and everything else, it works very, very well. And I think, yeah, think about the last few times you've been to an event in a gaming store somewhere, people stop and go, what's this game?
Yeah.
And check it out, they want to see what this thing is. And the reason why is because it has a grand kind of feel to how the game is, and it just feels nice.
Definitely does.
I think that's infinitely better than, you know, would you rather have a, think about your High Elf Dragon Princes, right? Would you rather have a whole bunch of dragon princes brooding across the land and there's kind of what? Four to a stand, so it's like, you know, 12, you have a couple of units of them, good 20 odd units, 20 odd knights, or are units you're going to have a unit of five? Which one feels like it's more realistic?
Exactly, yeah.
And yeah, that's kind of it. And Epic is a good example. Epic is a smaller scale because, as Paul says, that infantry aren't really the thing.
No.
You're thinking about tanks, you're thinking about super heavy tanks, titans, various other different things.
Spaceships.
I mean, like,
landing craft.
You say it's 6 mil, but you can run lists that don't have any infantry.
Exactly.
You know, like, and so, like, the Elder Army I did recently barely had any infantry. It's actually, yes, it's 6 mil, but the playing pieces are bigger than Warmaster pieces.
Yeah.
Exactly. That you're using.
Yeah.
But
yeah, 10 mil was a great scale to play.
So I find 50 mil stuff. Would it work at 50 mil? I'm not sure it would.
Well, I think the key thing you're looking at is, irrespective of whether it's 10 mil, 12 mil, 15 mil, whatever else, what you're talking about is a small scale game versus 28 mil or plus. You know, that's really what you're looking at.
You can definitely use 15 mil stuff, but you don't get many to a base, do you? You're almost getting to like ogre, trolls, kind of big stuff. Three to a base, six to a base, something maybe. Well, anyway, so scale was my first one. I think everybody agrees that it is. Do you think it could be a better scale?
I think, and not just because you're used to looking at it, but I think 10 mil is perfect because, you know, you can still do detailed work, you know, like on a 10 mil model, like show an example. You know, like,
but you can still get away with doing minimal work.
But you can get away with doing minimal work, like, you know, like how you paint like a Skaven army or a Tomb King's army. You know, some people would more detail, but you can get away with it. And I just think that, you know, if it was bigger, it would be, you know, more is less, in a sense. It's like, hang on, no, it's, you know, it's better that it's at that scale. I think to go smaller would probably is not ideal, even then you'd lose, be able to see what the difference is.
The only thing going smaller would do is potentially mean you don't need a 6x4.
Yeah.
6x4 is still a lot of real estate.
It's still a lot of real estate, but, you know, we've played some, you know, pretty decent games on 4x4s. You know.
Not 2,000, because some armies need 6x4 to deploy.
Yeah.
Like your big Skaven armies, or Tomb King's armies, you need a lot of room.
That is true.
So it is a bit old-fashioned in the 6x4. the next thing I got was command structure. Because if you don't like the way Warmaster command works, you're not going to like Warmaster.
No. That's a fundamental thing.
Otherwise, when people come from fantasy and they just say, well, you charge here and you move that, well, you can't do that without rolling dice.
Yeah.
And that if you don't like that, you're not going to like the game.
Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, that is one of its best features as well, is that is its command system, in terms of, like, you can't guarantee, like, what is going to be done. And to me, that, you know, you either love that or you're going to hate it. Like, to me, that's fantastic. You know, I like that. Oh, okay, you know, you can curse your dice out at times when you're being unlucky, but that is, you know, that is something that you have to try and mitigate. You can take items to try and mitigate things as well. It's not like, whenever people have moaned at me, like, as a TO, like, oh, like, I don't know what, you know, like, I just rolled all these dice and they were terrible. And it's like, well, what did you do about it? Like, were they the orders you had to pass? Or, like, do you take any items that would help your command? And it's like, no. And, you know, often they don't even realise they could do these things. And it's like, I really like that, personally. You know, I'm a fan. Like, so if I was playing Blood Bowl, there's two types of players who play Blood Bowl.
Cunts. Slow cunts.
One who wants to basically play chess and wants to minimise all of the randomness you could have in it. And me, I want all the random. I'd put every random bit into it because it's funny. You know, like, you know, and it's fun. You know, say it is fun.
You do realise that a lot of people play Blood Bowl for the exact opposite reason.
Exactly.
So that would be literally like asking them to nail their hands to,
I know,
to the
I know,
table.
I know.
It's like,
but
ball,
that's,
no,
yeah, but that
no,
is,
we're
that
not playing with any of these fucking rules,
that's,
Paul.
That's
no,
that's how people are different, aren't they?
Yeah, but
styles make matches.
That's true. But you've got like a community that's like 99% no, and then you've got Paul saying.
I don't think so.
Let's have this pitch slope to the right.
But that's great, because now it's helping my skater. You know, like, but yeah, it's, but this isn't a question about blah, blah, that was an example. You know, like, so, yeah, the command system is fantastic. And yeah, it can, obviously, if you're demoing it, if someone's having their first experience of it and it all goes terribly, it could put a sour note on them. But it's like, yeah.
Well, give them high elves.
Yeah.
Don't give them goblins.
Yeah, exactly. Like, exactly. It's like, well, what am I? What we haven't? I guess when are we talking about what we're doing today?
Or yes,
like,
sir.
Yeah. So I've brought along today. I brought two armies along: a High Elf army and an Orc and Goblin army.
Yeah.
So like, and it's the complete opposites of each arm. Well, not totally, but I've gone for interesting ideas in both armies, which are traditionally very opposite from each other.
So who are you playing with the High Elves?
Well, do we want to talk about what that...
No, we can do that later. We'll do that on the way back or something. Sherwin, sorry? Anything to think, Command 10?
No, it was about those. I think... I mean, every game has... Every game has its hook. Maybe you're talking about the visuals. Maybe you're talking about the rules mechanics. Maybe you're talking about the theming of it, or, you know, something unique it does that no other game does. That makes people sit there and go, oh, that's interesting, and then play it more. This is Warmaster's hook.
Yeah.
You look at every other component of it, it's pretty standard, it's pretty straight.
Well, apart from the scale, a bit wonky.
Yeah, but it's not the only small scale miniature.
Sure. But most of them tend to pitch at 15, those kind of grand battle things.
Yeah, that's semantics. It's a small scale game, and that's, whether it's 10 build, 12 build, 15 build, doesn't matter.
Well, the command structure is a...
The command structure is the hook of what makes Warmaster really work, is that risk reward of, do I go for lots of characters during this building, do I go for a couple of characters?
Yeah.
How do I manage how do I think about moving my units on the battlefield? Do I go risk reward? Do I try to go for second and third orders to try and do something?
Yeah.
Or do I just go solid and just go no consistent one order for each unit and that way everyone stays in line? Yeah, it's about that. If I think about most of the games I've played against Janus has won because of one knowing the decisive moment in that game to say, right, this is the bit where I push it, this is the bit where I go for the second or third order. That's what gets me in a game, that's going for the front at the appropriate time.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
good at that.
That's where the skill lies in Warmaster.
Yeah.
That's the interesting bit.
So I think Rick talked about the fact that it was meant to simulate you sending letters. You know, you're the general, you're the back, you send your letters forward to your heroes to give orders to the units, and sometimes they don't get the letter. Yeah. Sometimes the message isn't received.
Exactly, and things get misinterpreted, like,
with your blunders.
Yeah, like, is it not, like, even, that happens all the time in militaries, like, things get misinterpreted. Like, you've been directed to do something, but you've been less your own initiative in some areas, and what you come up with isn't what your commander wanted. Yeah.
I mean, in the more modern variants of Warmaster, Rick's taken to a slightly different system where you only roll one set of dice per brigade.
Yeah.
And depending on how well you roll, depends how many orders you're allowed out of your three.
Yeah.
But yeah, bizarrely, you have to specify all three orders up front.
Yeah, I mean, so we're talking black powder here.
And then those kind of derivatives.
And its derivatives. Now, the difference there is, it's a lovely gentlemanly thing.
Very gentlemanly.
Like, but that doesn't really work for match play.
So I'm going to move, charge.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I get two orders. Yeah. I get move.
Yeah, yeah.
The temptation is to not quite move so far, but you've got to move the whole fucking way, all of it.
Exactly. Like, and he said himself, like, in his preface of Black Powder, he's written a game for friends to play.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And again, you shouldn't really be tournament playing that kind of game because it's not intended for that kind of experience. And it's a nice game. You played Pike and Shot recently, similar game.
And Pike and Shot, which
is a fully painted army. This is the second time I've fully painted an army and haven't even played the game.
Well, there you go. I mean,
used my painted army. I painted an army.
I mean, like, it was against Rid, who's an absolute monster for systems. Like,
fucking nightmare.
What he's done recently is just on the. So there's been a guy down the club who came in through the song, events. And he's like, apparently it sounds like he's like developing a game system, and just on the whiff of that.
Rid's in.
So,
oh dear. He's playing fucking E-Man. I didn't even know there was E-Man. It's like, E-Man. Yeah. Two. That's what he said. He had the old metals and now there's some new fucking games. It's two fucking E-Man games. Is He-Man that deep? Palace guards and that fucking...
I don't think so. Anyway, your Pike and Shot, which was an offshoot of Black Powder, same core rules but different setting, different types of units. That to me, that was cool because it felt like old school Warhammer essentially.
And what scale were you playing? 28.
20 mil. Yeah. But the units are smaller, and there's more breakdowns of units. So on a 6x4, it seemed right, to play Pike and Shot at that level. But it's a game system that you need to . That you need to bring to the table in terms of what's our little objective for this game? Like, when are we going to call
the catch the king? Yeah. Cut the king's head off.
Yeah,
and then take over Parliament. Mm-hmm. It's the plan.
Yeah,
we're playing English Civil War. If you hadn't guessed, and Paul's a royalist, but he had to use the Cromwellian army.
Yeah, yeah. To answer my questions about the thing, I needed to have a game of it, and there you go. Our questions are answered. It's all right.
That command structure's live long, still going. I think it's in Hail Caesar as well.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And Pike and Shot Black Powder. And that new epic version, the one that nobody wanted, the 13.5 mil gauge.
Oh yeah, well, I mean that's still Black Powder. They're epic scale Black Powder, yeah.
Yeah, so. The scale, yeah. So, but I don't know if I said this, the worst of all worlds. So you've got the kind of scale of 28 mil, so the table gets full, but you've got twice the painting.
Yeah.
So because everything is fucking half the size, so it's just a bit mental. You've got to paint a million fucking figures.
Yep.
100. It's something like 80 figures. It's 80 figures per unit or something.
Something like that. Yeah. It's a huge amount.
So my god.
I mean, I'd love to. I mean, and this is Napoleonic, so. This is
buckles and belts buckles and straps and shit.
It's so colourful, but oh my god.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Right, so the next thing I had on my list was it is a dead system in inverted commas. Whatever it was.
Yeah.
Dead as in GW abandoned it long ago, but it's not quite dead, is it? Well, not the version we play.
No, I mean, it's, it's live in the sense that it has the rules get developed and looked at by a group of internationals who hopefully don't have any prior agendas.
apart from the British.
But what it doesn't have is in its like there's possible points that negatives both of this. It doesn't have some owner of its IP always in danger of really dramatically changing it.
Like Blood Bowl. Blood Bowl was dead for a long ass time and then came back alive.
Yeah, because it was so successful. You know, so recently in this year, like I ran a dozen Song of Ice and Fire events. And it is fun to play a system that is owned by a company and then new stuff comes out, which you have no control over. Mm-hmm. Like in terms of like, okay, that's the next thing.
And so the meta shifts.
Yeah, so the meta shifts and you can just, and you shift along with it. So it's a nice thing to be done. You know, the meta shifts in War Master very slowly, and for good reasons. But it gets evolved. And it's like, and the version that we play, this War Master Revolution, is a lot better than vanilla War Master. You know, like, in leaps and bounds, is a lot better. Though a lot of people apparently still play vanilla War Master.
Well, of course they do.
Yeah.
Because what happens is, and this happened to me back in the, when I was in my Tane Lord days, I bought the book from the internet.
Yeah.
And then I played the book.
Yeah, exactly.
And the book is still, majority still in use.
Yeah, exactly.
There's not that many changes.
Yeah, exactly.
There are a few changes.
Yeah.
And you can still find the errata and stuff kicking around.
Yeah. So, I mean, GW ain't ever going to recapture,
Be careful with you. I'm not sure if they wanted to come back, they could just come back.
Well, I don't think that's ever going to be on the cards.
I don't think so either.
You know, like, I mean, apparently they'll do Warhammer the Old World at some point. That'll be a 28 mil scale game. I imagine it will be a mixture of older versions of Warhammer Fantasy, like, unless they address the issues that Warhammer Fantasy had, it'll still have the same issues, you know, like, of hero hammering or min-maxing units, etc. It's like, you know, they need to put the caps in that the tournament scene did, you know, in trying to make the game more viable. But, I don't think that they're going to then do an epic version of that.
Yeah. No, I think they'd have to do the epic before they even looked at the fantasy.
Yeah, exactly.
Because fantasy must be now a fifth, a tenth, a 20th of the size of the 40K.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure Lord of the Rings is bigger than fantasy.
I don't know. Maybe it's not. But, the thing that GW could do that would really like get my attention is if they did an epic version of armor, 40K, either in Horus Heresy or 40K. That would get certainly a look like as an oh, let's have a look at this. Just because I can't knock them; they make beautiful models.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? Because any other company, they try to maximise the revenue. So they're doing a lot more now. They've started a lot more licensing. Like, I don't know if you're aware, but they were selling like 40K t-shirts in Asda and shit.
Yeah. Bathrobes, etc.
Yeah, 40K.
Like candles.
Yeah, so it's like, they are doing a lot more with their IP.
Yeah.
But you think, say it costs you 2 employees a year, 1 year's work, 2 employees to make an epic rule set. So you've invested, I don't know, 50K, something like that, 60K. Mm-hmm. You think they'd easily make that back?
I suppose so. Maybe
it's just not worth it. Maybe your plate is so full, the crumbs that are left for the side, they're not worried about these crumbs. Fuck that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like
just keep knocking out another Warpath group.
I mean, their production value, you're not sure, isn't it? Like, for example, I saw an interesting comment, like interesting video recently about criticising Horus Heresy's lack of releases. You know, like, you know, Horus Heresy version 2. On the outside, you think...
What difference would there be from one? They're all the same,
aren't they? When I say, on the outside, you think that they have released a lot, but then this guy was quite critically went through, and it's like, actually, I suppose it's not.
It's just Marines, isn't it?
They haven't touched really anything on any of the other factions you have in Horus Heresy.
I didn't even know there were any other factions.
Well, exactly. Well, there are. Yeah.
But again, it's like the pool is small.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just bang out another codex, like turn it up to 11, and get all the kind of gamers juiced up. They've got to buy it, haven't they? Got to buy the codex, but they've got to buy an army.
Yeah.
got to get in that 1,000-player tournament.
Anyway, where are we at with this?
I don't know, Dead System, Sherwin. You got anything to say about Dead System?
I think some of the stuff that Paul's talking about is... I'm going to echo that. Yeah, there are... Dead Systems have a certain appeal. Well, I mean, for any system, you've always got the difficulty is, the push-pull is, the company that makes the system wants to be able to continually have it as a revenue stream.
Wants to be able
to make money from it. That therefore requires new releases.
And it does.
Or new additions, whichever way.
New factions, new lists, entries.
That isn't always what's best for the actual game in terms of its, you know, either its theme, its competitive scene, its continuity. Because ultimately, if your army is well designed, if your army has no gaps in it, your army just works.
Yeah.
Then fantastic.
And you enjoy playing it. Why not? Why have a second one?
Well, it's more smudge. That army, you go, okay, let's start. Think of a really good example. Think of War Machine, again, that you're very familiar with. Painfuls. Now you've got Painfuls. Cool. What do we? Oh, we need a new point of infantry for Cricks. No, you don't. We've got Painfuls. Whatever you make.
Yeah, it's not Painfuls. Can't be better than Painfuls.
Well, how do you make them better than Painfuls? Well, you have to break them really bad because otherwise nothing is going to be as good as Painfuls.
Well, there is the other way to do it. And that's nerf Bane Thralls.
Well, also true. And
then get everybody fucking angry.
Well, 40
Bane Thralls.
Right, and that's not balanced for the purposes of, you know, from a gamer perspective, that's not a balanced experience.
No, but from a company perspective, I've got to make some room somewhere to get new shit in.
100%. So that's the push-pull there, whereas if you have a dead system, that goes away for obvious reasons.
It does.
However, what Paul was talking about is also true. You need to have that degree of meta shift. You can't just have something static that never changes.
Yeah.
Think about your experience with Blood Bowl. Paul and I played an awful lot of Blood Bowl for a long
time. Yeah.
I played as every Blood Bowl team, against every Blood Bowl team, on multiple occasions. And the reason I stopped playing Blood Bowl is because I kind of had done every single option.
Yeah.
And the meta was completely stagnant. And obviously, you go to different games and so on, but Blood Bowl is so predictable as a game.
So, it's solved. Yeah.
So it's worth pointing out, from a War Master perspective, you guys are on the rules committee, so you know what's coming up, you know what you're talking about, you know other bits and pieces. But if you're not, if you're just a random gamer, if you're a random hunter, then actually that rules committee conversation that happens every January or whenever you guys eventually get it done.
January.
Yeah, let's pretend that's true. So whenever you get that done, that's really
starts on the
exciting.
7th of January, runs 6 weeks.
That's really exciting.
It is.
Because at that point, you're going to see the new changes. Think about what happened with the Beast Weapons. Think about what happened with the Wood Elves. Think about Cafe and Nippon and the other things. These are all new armies coming out of this game, so it's really exciting.
I'll tell you an interesting insight. Is that I like the fact that in Blood Bowl, some armies, or some teams, are shitter than others.
Yeah,
deliberately.
Yeah.
And it says... If you want to play this fucking team, you are going to have to be A, good, and B, fucking lucky, or else you ain't winning. And it's better to be good and lucky. So I like the fact that at the moment, there's a variety of different power levels.
I think that works one way.
But there is a definite pressure to pull things up, to try and get everything onto a level.
Sure, and that's, I get it. I think the logic of what you're talking about there, and we are slightly sidestepping.
That's good. That's also what we ever do.
There's
Blood Bowl reference as well with the sidestep.
He's
got sure feet. So.
Yeah, well, look, if we want to have our sure feet about this, then the thing is you've got to do is you've got to block some of those units which are supposed to be really bad, stunters. Remember, really going up for a Blood Bowl reference. If you want them to sort of level up. There's a point where you have to, you can purposefully have a bad team. Bad army in this case.
Or more than one.
Yeah, sure. You can purposely have those things that are not very good. However, what you can't do is have an army that's supposed to be in the sort of middle tier, but actually isn't because it's just not very good. You know, hello, ogres.
Well, ogres have just been limited in what they do.
Sure. But, the point being that you can't have stuff that doesn't stem. You know, simply it's not supposed to be bad. It just is just bad. Having purposely bad stuff is okay. Cool. And then the other side of that is, of course, it's okay to have stuff that's deliberately underpowered. Having stuff that's overpowered is a problem.
Go back to Bloodborne. We've got the Wood Elves. The Wood Elves. Some people perceive Wood Elves as overpowered. Full stop.
Wood Elves are balanced a bit more
than. Well, all right. So let's imagine now. There are people who play Blood Bowl to win the Stunty Cup. They don't even try and win the main thing because they've got fuck all chance. You're using ogres or fucking goblins or something. You're only winning the Stunty Cup. And then there's an even madder set of fuckers who use teams that can't even play in the Stunty Cup and yet still have no fucking chance, like vampires who fucking destroy themselves one in every three games.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that they found a way to accommodate lots of different types of players without the. It's not. I don't think Warmaster primarily. I've said this before. Is a tournament game.
No.
I don't think we need to make a 1,000-page compact to make it a tournament game. We can try and make it like move towards being a tournament game, but we don't have to make everything like tier B.
No.
Because and I'm kind of arguing against myself because that means I have to accept that there are leadership 10 armies, which piss me off.
No. There's a difference. Every single example you've just given is a lower level to tier 3, whatever you want to call it, art team, which can exist because it is deliberately supposed to be there, or because
for an experienced player, experience.
Yeah, you can't have a tier 1 team which is just there, which could be taken by anybody, and it's super powerful. You can't do that. That doesn't work. That breaks the system. The only thing that stops high elves, for example, dark elves from dominating the tournament scene is most players. Have this ridiculous xenophobia against the elves. Why are you taking them? And peer pressure. That's not a very nice thing to have.
That's true. I've said.
If you think about high elves, just for a moment, they are visually an extremely strong army.
Yeah.
And they've always been something that GW pushed massively as part of the releases.
What are
really,
the initial?
Really lovely armies. So if I'm a Warhammer Fantasy guy, like, oh wow, I can play high elves. I used to love my high elf army.
Yep.
And then come into the scene, everyone's like, yeah, you're not going to play high elves, are you? You might have that face. Or you're basically just super overpowered. That's a problem.
It is.
Bad for the system.
I've got a painted high elf army and I never fucking use it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because even if I suggested using it, some of the more senior players start ragging on you.
Well,
and you go like,
that's
make it fucking playable then, you bitches. Let me use the fucking thing.
That's a negative space because it's exactly the same thing as why don't you take this army that's not very good? I still can't take it because in this case, it's so good that no one wants to play it.
There is a definite problem with a good experienced player playing high elves. That is a fucking ask for most people not using a tier one team to play against.
It's what Paul said earlier, right? If you're doing a demo, people get high elves because they never play the part they feel great. Basically, high elves are the demo army that somehow escaped into the life.
Yeah.
And it basically became like an alpha tier army because they were never nerfed.
They've been nerfed 3 or 4 times. You just can't nerf them enough, can you?
No, you're just not nerfing
them right now. Don't get me started. I've said if you get rid of the Command 10, you can have a lot of toys back.
You can still achieve what you're looking for.
A lot of toys back. 10,
but you need to adjust points for any of those toys.
He's already 180 fucking points. Can't be any more.
It's not talking about the general,
It's still up for discussion. That's the interesting thing about it being a not dead game is there is still discussion of like how do you deal with, because the problem is heavy cavalry at the end of the day that in the game still. And how do you keep them under control?
Scenery.
People are talking about the is it the slow rule where as you make more orders with them they get
from
more
ancients,
difficult.
Yeah.
I mean that's an interesting thing to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but there doesn't seem to be much traction in taking ancient good ideas. Ancients into Warmaster.
Well, apart from the actual game system, the combat system is imported in.
No, but it, like the special rules of units from Ancients.
There's a lot of variants. And the Battle of the Five Armies have got variant bits in there as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's lots of rules that Rick has written over the years that we could dip into and out of. But yeah, I mean, the game's not. It's not frozen in time. So there's still stuff going on.
And it's. The pace of change is slow, but at least it's there.
I don't think annual is slow. I think people underestimate or overestimate how many games an average player plays.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, how many games, and if they don't go to tournaments, how many games is a club player playing a Warmaster a year? 4?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like it's honestly, none of us are playing it enough to be properly play tested.
Well, if you take out a tournament, if you remove tournaments, how many times do you play it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, and so, yeah, sense.
Yeah, so we've got to be sensible. Annual changes are what people expect, and it's kind of a good baseline.
Yeah. I think Warmaster's in an interesting place. If you want to have why is there a good reason to play Warmaster? You know, to turn that question on its head. Mm-hmm. Because you guys have spent the last few years standardising, generally polishing and making the rules feel more coherent and more intuitive for the large part. Yeah, you've done a reasonably good job with that, and that actually feels like a really solid foundation now. Mm. Now the fun stuff starts.
Now's
the part where you start making new lists and new rules.
I got a very simple answer to like why are we still the topic?
I don't know. We're back there. Yeah.
Yeah. So
20 years.
Ask me the question.
I've seen you a picture of you in the bunker with Rick.
So
you're looking a very young boy.
Yeah. So ask me the question.
How old were you in that picture?
Ask me the question of the time.
I will after you tell me how old you were in that picture. 8?
No, I must have been over 16. If it was the club, I must
he
have been.
He wasn't
there
at your club, was he, Rick?
Yes. Yeah.
He came to the bunker.
I think he did.
Did you not go to one of those game days or something?
Oh yeah. I've only met him a few times, but it was all a long time ago.
Why do you still play Warmaster, Paul?
Because it's fun.
Well, not allowed to have fun. Surely it's like,
because it's fun.
No, I agree. The reason why I play Warmaster is because I've come from several competitive scenes of games. War Machine, Guild War, with games, all sorts of stuff. I play Warmaster because, one, it's fun. I like the people in the community. I like hanging out with them, chatting to them. But it's ultimately a game that I can't possibly take seriously
at all. Exactly. Yeah. And,
having bounced away from competitive play, because I realised just how much of a negative my headspace. I'm not saying that it's reputable, but for my headspace, that kind of drove me into a rabbit hole of thinking a certain way about games. I found that Warmaster, a game where you cannot do that, is really refreshing.
Yeah.
At the moment, it does overcome that more about the tournament we have seen. I'll be sending my Tarn army.
And I'll buy it from you, sir, if it's got
time. Sherwin, I hand on my heart, I can say I do not think it will get to where it gets to that stage.
I think the way that, if nothing else, the big hook we talked about, the advanced system, is enough to stop it from ever
getting. Exactly.
Although we have made a major concession to the command structure in that you get your free half-base move.
Which is a really good
thing. That's a sensible thing. That effectively means that orcs and goblins don't need any more workers at all.
Yeah.
Well, it also meant that if you put, because an old tactic in non-revolution was you just literally fly a set of flyers behind behind the enemy artillery brigade, and they had one fucking chance to roll. If it was a normal army, so you got a leech, you might not have the general though, so you might be on a 7. If you fail at 7, next turn initiative charge in, the artillery brigade's gone. That's the game.
I know we were going to talk about, I guess, how we did today on the way back. But the two
going to predict?
No. The two lists I have brought today, and I don't know how many, we might play two games, I suppose. Like, we should,
I'm going to record one, so I don't know. The choices you give me are like dog shit.
What? But anyway.
Well, you've got high elves and fucking orcs.
I was sitting there yesterday when I was like, I need to like take something along. At the moment on my painting table is the high elves that I won. From that event I won with Beast.
We haven't talked about
yet. Yeah. And they're Forest Dragon models, and they're beautiful models. And then I expanded on them to like, and this, my army is chosen completely on the models. So that, it's in like one of everything, it's in there. Just, they're lovely things. And they.
Well, there's not that much choice, is there, in high elves? You've got
I'm taking a Dragon Rider. Because it's a lovely model. Yeah.
Not as an upgrade to a character.
No, I wanted to try it as a unit. That's the thing. At the moment, it's like, it is super elite, small high elf army. But in my mind, that's what a high elf army would be. Is this, is that kind of looking army? So on the other side, I've taken orcs and goblins. And I was like, okay, what should I take for an orc and goblin list this time? And it's like, I've got some ogres done that I've never used ogres in orcs and goblins.
Because you've got trolls.
So I was like, right, I've taken a heavy infantry orc army, lots of maxed out on black orcs, got lots of trolls, I've got maxed out on ogres, taken a lot of characters, and I'm like,
what about the cavalry? No cavalry.
I think a few cavalry, not many, but it's like, it's
36.
But it's different. It's like, so, and the reason you can play an orc and goblin like that is because of the half-base move. I didn't have half face moves, I'll be like, I'm not going to get this army across the table.
Never.
Never will. So that's, again, I've come up with a different build of an orc army. I'm like, let's see where this goes. Like, as in, I'm not going to pass many orders, but if I play that army, I'll represent a very hard, heavy line.
You see, the problem will come. We use the scenarios.
Yeah, well, I'm going to play my game. Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, there's the issue, isn't it? I mean, you can make your battle line where you want, but if you're not competing with the scenario,
yeah, I'm going to have to try and, yeah, exactly. I'll
it's like try and go set over a really good
try and go to
line
the scenario.
Here.
Yeah, I'll like,
try and actually. Scenario, that's essential to be added to any game. Not from a competitive scene, just from a way of playing it in a healthy, balanced manner.
Something
the War Master never had.
Yeah, exactly. Like the, I mean, the scenarios in the rule book are terrible.
Well, no, like, I think that's what, the wagon train is a joke.
No,
the defend the village is shit. But I think the one with the wizard tower thing, that's kind of doable. It is. You've just got a central location you fight over.
We had to
ban Birdmen.
Yeah.
Infantry that can fly.
No,
yay! Burn the fucking houses down.
It's the one game that Birdmen came into their own.
Yeah, exactly. They were designed for
to destroy these buildings. But it's true.
Yeah.
They are infantry. They can fly.
Yeah.
I mean, the Uber unit for this. Uber tool for this job. Right. So number four on my list, because we're getting towards an hour now, so that's good. Number four is the number of army lists available.
Yes.
So I think
23, 24? Yeah.
I think it might be 25 with Nippon and Cathay.
That's good.
A lot.
That's good. That's really good.
I mean, there's a bit of overlap in the human stuff with the witch hunters and whatever the other one, Dogs of War and the Empire, etc.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of lists, 25.
It is good. And it's one of the most of any game system I know.
I can tell you that I would bet Janice can win with any of them. So
yes, he could, yeah.
So there is nothing that bad because you can win, well, he can win with them. I don't know what that means in reality.
But if he can...
It can be done. And like when Paul was bellyaching about, Skaven, and the guy in Sweden, monster.
Yeah, Skaven. What the hell? Yeah.
An interesting question that I heard on the bigger forums, I don't know if you go on the experimental forums much, is how to make Skaven work as a non-horde army. And it's got like, that seems weird.
Yeah, that's not Skaven.
Yeah.
The issue you have there is someone saying, I don't want to play this army the way it's designed to work, so how can we make it not work that way?
That's like,
you need to choose a different army.
I like playing Blood Bowl with goblins, but I don't want to take anything with goblins. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, at core level. I like red, but I wish it was more like blue. How do I make it blue?
It's been a quite a long and healthy discussion. I know, fair play to the man. I mean, I'm quite happy to discuss anything with anybody, but it just seems like, how can you make a horde army not... like, work as a horde army, and yet work if you don't take any horde stuff?
The issue you have there is, you can do... There's an academic question there, and there's an interest there, but when you get to the level of, we need to change the rules, so this one person with a random idea is...
It could make me... You can make quite a different list if you want some kind of elite Skaven list. I don't know what the fuck that would be or why it would exist if you find some way of making an elite Skaven list. Or B, just house ruling games you play to make it different. But it'd be like me saying, I don't know, I want to make an ogre list but not take ogres. I want to win with a million knobblers.
Mm.
Or something, but it's not going to work, is it?
Yeah.
To allow me to have 60 units of knobblers.
No, because you can still take a whole bunch of knobblers.
Well, you can't. You're only allowed 4,000 or something.
You're only allowed 8 still.
Yeah, yeah. I want to take 80.
Okay. I play goblins. The point that we're really driving at is, yeah, I just paint the light goblins. The point we're driving at is, lists are built around a couple of things. One is the idea that there's a theme or a strong rules swing to what they are. And that is their anchor as to what makes them that way. Etonian. Yeah. Oh, I have knights and I have peasants. Because yeah. That's what it is. That's the whole theme around it. Peasants are worthless, the knights are the only things about it. And the rules and the army list is structured around that core concept. You can talk about how you want it to be a peasant army or you want, but if you're not, if you're doing that, then you don't really want to be taking Bretonian.
Well, theme. Janus did that, didn't he?
Take a Bretonian theme, something else.
Janus.
You're still going to need those knights.
Janus played with the minimum knights. I think three is the minimum you can do, isn't it?
Yes.
And he had like a fucking lot of disposable stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Right, and there you go. So that's one way you can do it, and you can experiment with that.
Yeah.
You're not changing the rules. Get some like mounted peasant looking models to call their knights. That way it feels more like a peasant. But ultimately, you've still got to have those knights mechanically in the game because that's what it's built on. In the same way, Skaven is a horde army. It's designed around being horde. That's the whole point of it. It's disposable infantry because that's
cheap as well. Cheap. Yeah, discounted.
And the second part of that is balance. There can't be an army that has everything in it because otherwise it breaks the
game.
You can't have an army that's just amazing at everything. If you were to take every single army of Warmaster, it has a weakness somewhere, like in terms of what it is, because it just doesn't have that thing. It doesn't have artillery, it doesn't have flyers, doesn't have vehicles and characters. Whatever it is, they've got to have that because otherwise you would have high elves that could just do everything.
But it can do everything.
That's the point, and that's why we can have the elves have literally every choice, and they don't have
and then they've been nerfed three times. But I think it's interesting the push to kind of make everything better kind of fills, there's a temptation to fill holes.
Yeah,
and I think
holes are often
when people make new lists, this is something that pisses me off no fucking end. If anybody ever writes a fucking list, and I see it on the internet, and they put flyers in, can you guess what fucking flyers they put in? Do you reckon they put harpies in? Do you reckon they put in the 65-point wide-facing shit flyers? No. It's always fucking pterodons. Always 85 points. Fucking S-tier fucking flyers. Would somebody make a list now and put birdmen in? Would they fuck? You have to balance the list. It has to have weaknesses and strengths. If any flyer is better than no flyer.
The
things. I mean, there's even talk of restricting what flyers can do again.
It's like, because people like issues of the tactic of landing flyers behind a combat.
I'm going to do a video on this
soon.
But
anybody, anything can do that.
If I've got cavalry and I charge two in the front, I can put one round the back.
Yeah. So
I've done the same thing.
Yeah, he's done the same thing.
It's the number of orders it takes you to get there.
One, two.
But you're
disposing of the flyers generally die.
Yeah, if you put that rule in, like flyers cannot land within 5 centimetres of a combat.
That's a game mechanic.
But no, you would have to change that mechanic for everything.
But that wouldn't work.
Yeah, exactly. So
the game would break down.
Yeah, it. You know,
flyers. Listen, flyers are bastards, and that particular tactic is a fucking cunt move. But it's in the game. What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
It's like fouling you. The team you're playing in Blood Bowl, right? Everybody's on the floor.
Yeah.
They're all on the floor, and he's not getting back up. He does his turn now, just lying on the floor, and you go and fucking kick him anyway.
Yeah.
Because you're men up. That's a good move, but it's in the game.
It's in the game. It's the rule.
Yeah, what do you want me to do? You stayed on the floor. What do you want me to do?
Really, you should. Really, foul shouldn't be limited. You should foul every
until
fight.
You get kicked off.
Until you get kicked off, yeah.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, risk and reward, isn't it? Yeah, risk and reward. It's like ref can send more than one player off.
Yeah, first time you get sent off, then it turns over.
Exactly.
But the flyer thing is that they're good in what they can do, but generally speaking, you can't charge stuff in the front with flyers. You're going to lose the flyers. You have to use them like as a scalpel. I hold them till late game, try and get in a flank, try and do something with them.
They're a resource that is always min-max one, you know, and that you hold back to the right moment.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't want to peace trade them.
No.
Because it's not their points, it's the fact that you can only take two units of flyers anyway. Like, you can't take more than two. So
fragile.
Yeah, they are very fragile.
And when they're charged, they're shit.
Yeah, they get attacked, they're dead.
Yes,
they
get them in the flank, they've got two rounds of combat, they're definitely dead.
Yeah.
But you've got all these things built into flyers, And then people fixate on what they can do. Well, anything can do what they can do. It's just a bit easier with flyers.
Yeah.
So I don't stress about flyers. And if somebody catches me, I've got my cavalry in a line, a big long line, and they put flyers behind them and charge me in the front. That's my fault for keeping them in the big long line.
Yep.
I didn't have to put them in that big long line.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I did.
It's like an experienced player sees the threat of what the enemy's brought on the table. I mean, like, he could do that. But what I've got to what he's got, he could do that to me.
So the next time I see a new list, I want to see Harpies in it. 65-point shit flyers. They're still good, man.
They're still flyers.
They're still good.
In many ways, if they keep their points low, but maybe that's...
And I'll tell you another thing they do. They don't give as much flank away, do they, when they get charged?
No.
I know you have your enfilading charge, whatever the fuck that thing's called. But anyway... Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Anything to say about flyers, Sherwin? While we're talking about flyers?
Yeah, I think the issue with flyers, if you're an experienced player, there's not really an issue per se. I think the issue.
You can still get caught with them if you don't.
Sure, you're missing my point. The issue is more if you're a new player now, the most unfriendly thing in the world.
Yeah. Well, that manoeuvre, charging the front with flyers behind.
And there's nothing to stop. Much like high elves, there's nothing to stop playing.
Well, that's why high elves can do it. They've got the best ability to do it because they've got leadership 10 as well, aren't they?
No, you should be ideally building a game system which doesn't have negative experiences that scare someone off. Because the other purple...
Hey, hang on, we're not talking about Purple Sun turn one and my team's gone. You can't defend against it.
We're talking about something where someone says, I've moved my army up, and then suddenly someone...
Don't expose behind. But don't expose your behind.
I'm a new player. How do I know?
Well, you learn. It's like
by a good teacher.
You learn by being crushed mercilessly.
Oh man, we are making a generation of snowflakes. God damn it! So my kids are always talking about this bullshit. Listen, how many games? I'm not going to ask Sherry because he'll come up with some bullshit. I won my first game, you know. So, how many games of War Machine in a row did you lose at the beginning?
Apparently 100.
With Signal, I'm gonna get to win this Signal, god damn it. I keep getting smashed in the fucking face.
I was at a point where I could document every game. which was cool. It became its own thing.
I can verify this. He won game
101.
Did it feel sweet?
It did feel really sweet.
He played a new player.
Somebody was worse than me.
He crushed it.
Yeah.
Oh man. The learning curve was so bad. That's why I can't get into it now.
But there are some, so I've done that recently this year in Song of Ice and Fire. So at the moment, Free Folk, what a lovely picture. Look at that, all the canals. Yeah, Free Folk right now are...
For people listening, there was a lovely vista.
Over multiple locks in the rain.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, but you didn't explain it very well.
Sorry, I won't give a shit.
Cancel the subscription.
Yeah. So, Free Folk are... Because the game has been... I'm actually running, the most active scene in the country. Things get developed, in Song of Ice and Fire, because there's not been overall that many games played of it in total. And now it's getting to the stage where it's getting there and people are finding combos that are really strong. And the faction that is head and shoulders now above the others is Free Folk. So I was like, right, okay, I like to play Lannisters, so let me try and win against Free Folk, those Free Folk good lists.
Right.
And I just
discussed this.
Yeah, I just kept trying and kept trying. And it's like, but I'm that kind of person who, keep going.
Talk about Warmaster.
Yeah.
Getting a good punch or two in the face should prevent you from getting punched in the face going forward. So if somebody shows you how to do something against you, then you've got to find a counter tactic, whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Just find a way around it.
Yeah.
What people tend to do in this situation is they will put a terrifying creature in front of the line of cavalry. So if you go through that terrifying creature, he's going into the combat and he's got to change the combat potentially.
Yeah. I mean, There are often things you can do. They are risky,
Another thing you can do is put something behind you the flyers can't go into, like a wood.
Or the way that you combine your units can often, off-shape danger. Yeah, as in, you mix cavalry with infantry, that kind of thing. Yeah. It's like, there are often ways that you can outthink something.
Don't have a big blob in line. have them a couple in column or something and make it harder for
like,
them. Because if you're in column, the guys at the back can push left or right and give you a lot of breathing space.
So when I played in the event in Scotland, like I had dwarves versus witch hunters. We both had cannons, but his break is a lot higher than mine. I had to really think about how can I take off his cannons? How can I? Because if I don't, those I can't sustain a unit of Gorn from cannons. I'm a dwarf army.
Well, he that's can, the game against
he can,
cannon.
I say he can sustain losses much easily.
That's a sub-game,
so
isn't
I had
it?
To, yeah, I had to really think about how I could take those cannons out.
First bit of the game is how do I get rid of the cannons? Because if I don't get rid of the cannons, the longer the game goes on, the worse it's going to be for me.
It's going to be, yeah.
Flyers help with that, getting rid of cannons. They're one of the few things that can get it done.
I was pretty pleased with the solution I came up with. Yeah, so.
What, use your cannons?
No, it was... Anyway, I found a way to make them a target, yeah.
They are good. They're expensive though, but they're good.
Yep.
So did you? How many games did you lose, Shirley? Of the war mass war machine.
I think I
won one of those. Yeah. Come on, bollocks!
He crushed me.
I think we were playing. So I played against experienced players, and I got my arse handed to me probably 20 times before I realised that Sigma were a bit shit.
I learned my first war machine army was Scorn.
No, he said nobody knew how to play the cunts anyway. He was like, what is this shit you're doing?
And I played against Eric Circle.
It's a nice friendly first game.
Eric is trying to work out how his guys go and share the ones with the bears. And my guys are a bunch of nutters in t-shirts and just want to eat to pieces.
Yeah,
want to
eat souls.
Shit. Yeah. Basically, in the early games, I remember using Bronzeback Titans a lot, and they were a lot of fun.
So
what it turned out to do, and I don't want War Master to go down this route at all, but what it turned out to do with War Machine was there was like a couple of choices for each faction that were like head and shoulders above everything else.
Yeah.
And your problem was not playing with those.
Yeah,
so trying to, I really like this guy here. Oh, he's lovely, isn't he? Nemo. Oh, he's fucking shit, mate. Yeah. Shit. Yeah. You've got to get one of the, you've got to get P. Haley or fucking E. Kane or whatever it was and just rinse people.
Yeah.
But that was quite boring. Where there was only a couple of choices.
Well, no, that game system had a lot of choice, but the choice was never used because it tended to be restricted to the things that worked best on the table.
This is why it's important to look at armies and understand. You know, Centaurs is a really good example in a policeman army. Why would you ever take Centaurs? You wouldn't.
Oh, we're still working on it because they drink. You like the drinking motif.
Yeah, my point being that why would you ever take those things? So therefore, it's the responsibility of the rules committee to fix them so that they're actually an option.
Yeah.
You don't have to be the most amazing thing.
I'm all in changing rules on things that never get taken.
Yeah.
Because you're not losing anything, are you?
Gorgeous slash Yetis.
Like if they're never taken, no problem, is it? You can't make it. You can't. Yeah.
It's funny though that we have this in the world. You have a tendency once something's been printed, there's like a real fear of changing it. I don't know why that is. Because these weren't even. These weren't
the
even.
The old phrase isn't it? Gamers, the only thing they like more than change is things staying the same.
I mean, these kind of lists, the kind of ogre lists and what other lists were, like what else, they were never really lists anyway. They were only like test lists.
Yeah.
Or experimental lists or fucking, I can't remember what their names of them were.
On the plus side, like, if this isn't me blowing smoke up your arse, but it is a degree of...
Blowing smoke up your arse, that's good.
No, it's me telling you that you've done a good job. Is the most interesting lists for War Master are the new ones that should come out now.
There's been some good designs.
Now you guys have got the foundation settled, you can actually start pushing the envelope in a different way, and you're doing some really interesting stuff, which is cool.
Yeah,
push that envelope.
Exactly, and that's really nice to hear, Sharon. Cheers.
Right. So.
Anything else?
I think we've done our time. Mm-hmm. We're nearly there. We need to wrap this up, and then we can.
I do have some surprise news for the LGT.
To the next one,
give it to the next one if you want. Yeah, sure.
In the wrap up, unless it's what you do, is it something we need to know now? Because I'm going with you and sharing a room, so you're telling me you're coming out or something.
No. It's
I did tell
you. You're coming to the LGT this year. Oh, it's 23.
Who?
You.
Oh, no. LGT, so I thought you were...
London Grand Tournament.
Right. Sorry, sir. What's happening with the LGT then? You tell me.
Okay.
Where are you
now? So. Obviously it's happening. That's you know, like, and War Master's going to be there. And I think at the moment, the War Master event will be a split between a narrative thing for like 10 players and a tournament for like 32. And I think that's about War Masters' capacity for players at the moment, really, anyway. In terms of like, you know, if that sells out, then...
So you're capping it at 32 then?
It ended up under 32 last time.
Okay.
And well, I think that people's desire to play a sixth game is probably not there. I don't know. You know, like, but there'll be two events like going on alongside each other. So there'll be like some, how Jim wants to sell like the narrative thing is going to be Jim's baby. But you know, and there you go.
So just as a sub point.
Yep.
The sixth game's only relevant for the people who are unbeaten.
Well,
so unless you're doing strength of schedule, everybody that's not unbeaten can just drop after five because it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah. Anyway, what has also happened to me is, you know, I said I've been running these Song of Ice and Fire events. I've been offered the gig to run Song of Ice and Fire at the LGT because actually I'm the most experienced TO that, you know,
in the UK.
Maybe in the world.
So you're going to do it?
I'm going to do both.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, like, because I've got...
How are you going to do both?
Because I've got teams. I've got teams of people.
Teams.
So basically what Paul is saying, because this is an advertisement. If you are someone who wants to help a TO...
Well, it's going to be Jim and Chris, isn't it? But they're supposed to be doing the campaign thing, aren't they?
Well, no, it's... You know,
who's running the song thing?
The Chelmsford Bunker, the club.
Oh, right, they're running the event.
Yeah.
All right.
And
you're just like the overlord. So what you want to be is like Davros, you know, like a little mobilised chair.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Yeah, it's like, as in like... Because I was like, that's really cool, because then I get to influence that. And that's a 128 player event.
Is it?
Like, yeah, and I get to influence...
That's a lot of rounds.
Yeah, it's seven. Like, I get to influence that and dictate how that game system should be, like, is in a setting of how you should play. I'm bringing in chess clocks into that.
That's a lot of chess clocks.
Well, I mean, I'm probably only going to clock the top 16, probably. You know, like...
How does that work?
Because I don't physically have...
Yeah, but how do you do that round one?
What do you mean round one? Oh, okay.
Round two?
Oh, well, then whoever's on the top 16 tables gets clocked. Anyway, that's a going off question. So, yeah.
Just tell them to use their phones.
Yeah,
maggots.
So it looks like at the moment I'll be running both things. Because actually, at this year at the LGT, I had plenty of spare time. I was not very busy. You know, as like...
Probably painting.
Yeah, but most of
them. That's what you do. You take stuff
to
paint.
Like, so,
why are you bothering me? I'm painting here.
So it's like, if I'm going to give up my time, why not facilitate both things?
I mean, just tell him I'll run the event, mate. You just take the weekend off. The whole thing, the whole shit bang.
What do you mean?
Well, the man that runs the LGT.
Oh, right.
I'm on it, mate.
No, I think that's...
140,000, 40K players.
I think, well...
He's going into the pool GT.
He's getting a paycheck,
You're getting a paycheck, yeah?
No.
So, mate, I'm bringing nearly 160 players.
Anyway, it's like, it'd be an interesting thing to do.
It would be an interesting thing to do. Yeah. Certainly be the biggest event you've run.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, okay, right.
And you got a rules committee team, rules team with you, have you, to deal with judgment calls
and stuff.
So this is where it starts, Paul. Next time you can do pool comp. Winter comp.
Yeah. Winter. In summer, just to confuse everyone.
It's like, I might well be like the shadowy figure who's put the thing together, but it's not, you know, it's not the front man on both sides at once or something. But it's cool. It's cool with me.
Yeah, like, so who's the front man? You've got Handsome Dan for the song.
Well, you know, is it? Well, no, it'll probably be. Anyway, never mind.
You could be the new John Webb.
John Webb, yeah.
John Webb. With the smile on his face.
Well, I'd smile more than John Webb.
Anyway, don't speak ill.
Yeah.
Right, that was good. Well, good stuff. So you would now bring in 30, 42, 42, 128, that's what, 180 people or something? 170 people. Buy you lunch at least.
Yeah, you think I'd be deserved that.
That's 50 quid a ticket, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Keep it up. Right, so we're going to call it a day now, an hour and 10 in, that's good. It's been a nice chat. It's nice to have Sherwin on board.
Yeah, lovely show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Let's listen to his insights into the world. And we'll hear a bit more later on about his travels, no doubt, this year, and what's been going on at the old SFG, maybe.
Well,
if he's allowed to talk about it.
Yeah, but we'll talk about the War Master games we played today. Come on.
A little bit of that. Well, it's a wrap-up, though. We can do that.
Yeah.
We've got to talk about 2022. We've got to talk about your Beastmen and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, we've got plenty of stuff to talk about. Anyway, all right. So that was episode 175 with Paul and Sherwin and Barry.
Thank you.
Good night.
Would you like to know more?